First Corinthians 15, still in the book of John. Moreover, brethren, verse 1, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So we said that the synoptic and the four gospels are reference points to what he's saying here. The Christ died for our sins, four gospels, was buried and rose again the third day. Again, it's referring or makes a reference to the four gospel accounts. And all the narratives of the book of Acts refers strongly to this. So at John 20, as we get to the very last two chapters of the book of John, it leads us to look at the themes. Now you notice John is particular about day, hour. So we'll look at that as well. Let's even try and see how emphatic he is in the use of time. John 2, verse 4. My hour has not come. John 2, 4. John 2, 19. Destroy this temple after 3 days. So we have day, hour. Then John 4. John 4 and verse 21. The hour cometh. John 4, 23. The hour cometh. So he uses time. Again, in his narrative, use of time. John 5, 25. The hour is coming, has come. John 7. John 7 is a little bit different, but it's still important, where he says, come unto me and drink. And then he says, this speaketh of the Spirit, which those that believe on him should receive. That's just by the way, really. John 8, or let's say, John 12. And 23, the hour is come, the Son of Man shall be glorified. John 12, 27, Father, save me from this hour. John 16, a little while, 16. A little while, time. John 16, 19. John 16, 21. Hour. John 16, 32. The hour cometh. John 17, 1. Hour cometh. So, the concept of time is used by John. Day. That day. You will know. I skip that. John 14. In that day. Verse 20, you know I'm in my Father. John 16, 23. So day. So when you see him talk about time, it's something you can't lose sight of. So John 20, again. The first day of the week, cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, to the sepulchre, and saw the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runs, and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth and the other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran together both, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping low or down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went to the sepulchre and said, the linen clothes lie, the napkin which was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciple that came to the first the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. So yet other they knew not the scripture that he must, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. As she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and saw two angels in white sitting. And it says, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had laid. Then verse 13. And they said to her, woman, why weepest thou? She said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? Supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, sir, if you have borne him hence, tell me where they have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned herself and said to him, Rabboni, that is to say, Master. 17, Jesus said to her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Verse 19, now pay attention to this. Then the same day, at the evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said to them, peace unto you. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, let me start his eyes, and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins you retain, he says they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. He had gone to work. So 25, well, where did he go to? The other disciples before said to him, we have seen the Lord. And he said to them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. I think there's something that's a bit of a slant here. He didn't say, except if I see this, I see this, I will not believe. So what he said he will not believe is not necessarily that Jesus did not rise from the dead. I don't think that is what he's saying here. Because by saying, when I see him, I want to do this, I want to do that, I think that should be reread. So, verse 26. After 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace unto you. And he said, Thomas, reach either thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach either thy hand, and trust it to my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Thomas answered and said, a very heavy witness, he says, my Lord and my God. That's a witness of who he is. Then said Jesus to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, thou hast believed. And Thomas is very important, because Thomas is an apostle. He believed he went to India, an apostle to Asia. He also was in Asia a lot. And Asia, the Middle East, you know, and blessed they that not seen, yet I believe. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So, 1 Corinthians 15:3 to 4 is the opening statement here. The first day of the week, we see the gospel is explained in days. And there have been arguments that, yes, no one can fault the witness of the apostles, but maybe what they saw was a spiritual experience. Some have even said that Jesus never rose bodily, that it was just like a vision of his risen self. But the point is this. I mean, these witnesses have been credible or made credible by history, and what they have said has been tested as true. He said many times that nobody becomes a martyr of what, and the way, you know, they gave their lives, sort of, looking at their history, of what they fabricated. Why would you fabricate something to come and die for it? It becomes very logical. So, no doubt this event by John, by saying the first day of the week, shows us a new day. We have had seven miracles, as it were, seven signs. They will now find a new day, or call it a new beginning. So by giving us the details of what they met in the tomb, neatly wrapped napkins, it shows you that his body was not stolen. It was a well done resurrection, not someone rushing out of the grave lest a soldier should see him. Of course, we've done this study before when he now met Mary. Obviously, there had been certain, as it were, things said in the four gospel accounts where we see Jesus was not seen. I mean, he wasn't recognized by his disciples. And really, that goes neither here nor there. It could be, again, that they were not made to first see him, but to first hear him. And it could also be that, you know, his appearance had been marred. A lot of narratives went to that. But one thing is clear, that he becomes the first fruit of all that will rise from the dead. Paul says that in 1 Corinthians 15, 21 through to 24. Therefore, we see a body that is both earthly and celestial and terrestrial in how he will go through doors and all of that. So he gives the idea of the resurrection of the believer as well, as he said earlier in John 5, from 25 through to 30. So when he says it here in John 20:17, touch me not, it's better to say, better translation, I put it well, or sorry, other translation, I put it in a way to understand, stop holding on to me. And I've taught you that it's a present continuous. It is a don't touch me, like, oh, if you touch me, things are going to spoil. Stop holding on to me. Then he sends Mary out. Of course, he calls them brethren here. If you read John very well, this is an highlight. By calling them brethren here, it means John 3:3, John 3:5, John 3:8 have come to pass, or about to come to pass. So he breathed on them there. By now you should know the implication of that. John takes us back to Genesis 2 verse 7, because it's the same. Look at the Septuagint. That's the Greek word there, the emphasis. I breathe into his nostrils the breath of life. Then also Ezekiel 37 verse 9, called a new creation story as well. Ezekiel 36, Ezekiel 37, and all of that. So John 20 presents for us a new creation story. And let's see the very critical events there. He's raised physically, one, new creation. Two, in itself, when he chooses to send a woman, I put something in my notes here, let me read it. Okay, I said that within their culture, which is within the Greco-Roman culture, or even the ancient Near Eastern of the Old Testament, women's testimonies were lesser treated, were treated with lesser respect than men. In fact, in some Greco-Roman communities, it wasn't even accepted at all. They would tease you if you say, a woman told me. So by sending Mary to them, Jesus sends a message, a theology that abandons cultural limitations. He throws away the thinking that God forbids women. course, we've done this story. We have a book or books on this, where he calls the whole nation his priesthood, but from the hardness of their heart, he chooses the sons of Aaron. So new creation, which is a day. We have his bodily resurrection, 1-2, becomes a first fruit. Then, thirdly, he corrects our thinking about others, women. Then the word peace, Aaron, has to do with unity. Peace is Shalom, Jerusalem, you know, all those things come to mind. As my Father sent me, he uses the word apostelo, where you have the word apostles. Even so send I you. I'm going to bring that back when we get to 21. Even so send I you. Then he breathed on, just he gave them the Spirit by teaching. Not that he put his nostrils on their heads, said that. Luke 24, 32 says, thou hast not born as he opened to us the scriptures. Luke 24, 45, he opened it to understand them and understand the scriptures. Acts 16, 14, the woman that her heart was open to the Lord. Acts 17, 2 and 3. So, what he does here is to open their understanding by teaching. And the result of it is the gift of the Spirit. So, new creation, we have work to do. There's a vocation in ministry. New creation, born, reborn. Then, he says to receive the Spirit. Then he now says, whosoever sins you remit. Now for everyone who knows that it is God who remits sins, this is the glorified part. He's glorified in his sins. So if God is glorified, which means what belongs to him, he reveals it through those who believe. So John 20 is a new creation chapter. New creation chapter. And so by John 21, which we are going to get to, new creation chapter, then he says, signs. Signs are done. Why are signs done? So that you might believe, and in believing 31, you have life through his name. So let's quickly go through John 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on his wise showed he himself. But together Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said unto them, I go fishing. And he said to him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. So that shows, they used to fish at night. That's why they were sleeping. And when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. The disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then he said to them, children, have you any meat? That's food. They answered, no. He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you will find. Because this brings back Peter's first experience in Luke 5, verse 4, verse 6, and 7. Then verse 7, therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat into him. He was naked, he did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, as it were, 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring of the fish which you have now caught. So Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus said unto them, come and dine. No disciples thus ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Jesus then cometh and takes bread and gives them, and likewise fish. Now this is now the third time that he showed himself to the disciples after he had risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than this? He said, yeah, Lord, you know I love you. He said unto him, feed my lambs. Then 16, he said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said to him, yeah, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said to him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. You know I love you." Jesus answered and said to him, "Feed my sheep. Verily I say unto thee, when thou was young, thou gathest yourself, and walked without thou wouldest. But when thou art old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wilt not." Verse 19, this speak he signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken, said to him, "Follow me." Then Peter turning about said, "Disciples whom Jesus following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrays thee?" So Jesus never disclosed it. Okay? Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, what shall this man do?" 22. Jesus said to him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to you? Follow me, follow thou me." Then went this thing abroad among the brethren. This is brethren, who, that the disciples that should not die. Yet Jesus said to them, Jesus never said to them, "He shall not die." But if I will that he tarry, that is a figure, a rhetoric. They turn that rhetoric into a definite statement. Now this is not the world though. Brethren. 24. This is disciples which testify of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his witness is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if we were written everyone, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. And it says amen. So let's go through this and look at the themes of John as we close this study. Of course, the fishermen, there are two schools that they had stopped fishing when we were following Jesus. I don't think so. I think people just assumed that they were. So people call "let's go a fishing" here in John 21 an act of backsliding. I remember years ago, just because we went to criticize within Christian Church of God, me and my friend said, "Let's go a fishing, let's go a backslide." And they were going for evangelism, but we said, "Is they are going to backslide." You know, very, very funny thinking. But the truth is, obviously, that John 21 shows that they were fishermen, and they didn't sell their boats. They still had their boats, they still knew where they were fishing. So the core issues here is again they didn't recognize him yet again. So what could have been happening? Well, it could be a miracle, and like I mentioned, it could just be also that he had been so murdered, but it appears more like it's a miracle. So let's see the Great Commission in John 20 and 21. In John 20 and 23, whosoever sins you remit are remitted, and whosoever sins you shall retain. In John 21, he mentions to shepherd his flock, feed, poibano. And that is the John 10, which we read earlier. I am the good shepherd. I am the shepherd of the sheep. So which means the Great Commission is a commission to feed the sheep, to shepherd. Of course, God is a shepherd. Genesis 48, verse 15 and 16. Anyone leading the people of God or the children of God is also called a shepherd. Numbers 27. And verse 17. 1 Kings 22, verse 17. Zechariah 10, 2. Psalm 76, I know we've gone through this before. Psalm 76, Psalm 78, verse 70 to 72, Psalm 80, verse 1. Psalm 95, verse 7. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, Psalm 79 verse 13, Psalm 100, we were there earlier, 100 verse 3, the sheep of his pasture. So the work of ministry is the work of a pastor, of a shepherd. And I've said this to you before, and I must repeat myself, that the dichotomy of Ephesians 4:11 has been misconstrued to mean different ministries rather than different gifts in the ministry. Or different persons, let me take that back, rather than different gifts in the ministry. So it's clear, let's look at the Great Commission, Matthew 28, to make disciples to teach, verse 18 and 19 and 20, Mark 16:15 to preach the kingdom, Luke 24:47, and John 20 is more elaborate. John 20:23, to act in God's stead, apostolo, John 20:20 and 21, to shepherd. So you have evangel, Mark 16, to make disciples and teach, Matthew 28:18-20, to shepherd, John 21, to teach that. Now the prophet is just all of God's messengers who take his Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That is a reference of like a prophet. You shall be my witnesses. So these are expressions of ministry, not individuals. So the shepherd is every minister of the gospel. He goes, again, let's see, Ezekiel. I didn't say every ministry is pastor, but every minister is given the role of a pastor. Ezekiel 34, verse 11, thus saith the Lord, God, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock, so it's evangelism is the work of a shepherd. Ezekiel 34 again, 23, I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David, he shall feed them, he shall be their shepherd. So Jesus gives a definite instruction here, and he brings it all together. The shepherd, the pastor, the evangel, those who teach, they're all expressions, synonyms, really, of one another. So let's look quickly on through the themes of John, the thematic concerns of John. The first is to see the Exodus story. Tabernacle, glory, that's the Exodus. The Exodus and Genesis story. Genesis 1:1-3, and the book of Exodus. Just like we have John reading the Exodus and Genesis. Then the concept of holiness, washing, purifying, which is the work of the Spirit, brings in Ezekiel 36, verse 24 through to 27. Washing. The new birth, the use of water. Then the concept of eternal life, life of the age to come, life of the time. Again, don't forget he uses time a lot. So eternal life is the life of that time, the time of his resurrection, the time of his dominion and kingdom. Then the use of the word name, in my name. In my father's name. Name refers to an Old Testament Shem in the Old Testament. We've done that study also. It refers to God's presence. Then you have the high point of it is the Spirit. The Spirit. So the Spirit will be where, let's call it the wholesale of all we have said. The water, the life will be found in the Spirit. John is the loudest of all the four Gospels on the concept of Spirit. Then we have truth. Truth is God's word in its faithfulness. Aletheia, of course, in the Greek, God's word in his faithfulness, in spirit and in truth. That is, God brings to pass what he has promised and what he has said. So that's what John brings to us. John brings to us an enlivened synoptic account, or should say four gospels, part of the four gospels. That, so a lot of folks put like this, that others told us of Jesus from outside, John spoke of Jesus from inside. Now, you know, why would you say that? It's because his theology was more about the substance of who Jesus was, not just the events. That's why he chose the events and focused more on the substance. I would say also that John could or should be read with the epistles, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and the book of Revelation. It's like they are good companions in studying them together. That's all we'll do on John.